to fear and panic and all of that, because that just makes everything worse. But I think our administration is well on top of all of this. And speaking of being on top of things, we got to stay on schedule. So we have already cruised our way through the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. Going to put Dr. Al on hold. We will run Martha's four-step flea plan so you can be taught on top of dealing with fleas without the toxic chemicals. Then as we continue, we'll get into the endocrine immune imbalance and what it's all about. And then we'll talk more about vaccines. And I've got some other great information from a listener related to the endocrine immune imbalance. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. We've got copies of Dr. Al's book to give away. We've got Wagon Tail's liver cookies. Great time to call. 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569 and send us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. We continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Hi, this is Martha with another Animal World tip. With the warmer weather coming, something I'm sure we'd all rather not think about, fleas. But if you want to keep fleas off your animal friends and out of your house, and if you'd prefer to do that holistically with all natural stuff rather than with toxic chemicals, now is the time to get prepared and start paying attention. The good news is, it's not difficult or majorly time-consuming to keep your animals and living environment flea-free, naturally. But you do need to know what you're doing, and there are four steps involved for complete success. Step one is preventative and involves making your dog or cat friend unattractive to fleas. Fleas are not attracted to healthy animals. They like animals that are unhealthy and physically out of balance, and one of the most important factors keeping your animals healthy is what you feed them. I recommend you start by feeding the highest quality, all-natural diet you can. This can consist of processed, dry and or canned, dehydrated, home-cooked, raw, or a combination of several of these types of food. Whatever you choose to feed, I suggest you add the Missing Link supplement to provide what's missing in the foods themselves, especially the omega-3 and 6 oils, essential for healthy skin. For critical flea months, say May through October or November, you can add a supplement to your dog or cat's food to help repel fleas. Bodyguard, a yeast and sulfur formula, and Vetline, yeast and garlic, are two products that I have found to be successful. Some animals may require additional supplementation to be healthy, like antioxidants, probiotics, or digestive enzymes. A good holistic veterinarian can help you get this right. The better you feed your animal friends, the healthier and less attractive to fleas they're going to be. Step two is to get rid of fleas on your animals and then keep them off. At this time of year, unless your situation is an unusual exception, you have no fleas on your animals yet. So right now, this step is all about paying attention and prevention, so the fleas don't get a jump on you and get established in your home and yard. If you allow your animals to leave your environment or take them off your property, especially if it's to a potential flea area, like a dog park, it's a good idea to spritz them with a natural herbal flea repellent spray. My favorites are products made with Erigeron, also known as fleabane or neem. You can get these products from holistic vets or naturally inclined pet stores. I spritz Annie Golden Retriever before we go to a questionable area, and sometimes again before we come home. During flea season, which begins any time now, it's a good idea to do your regular flea checks on all your animals. Running a flea comb through your dog or cat's fur is one way to check. Comb down the middle of their back, be sure to comb around the base of their tail, and also around their neck and chin. Another way is to roll them over and check their bellies, watching for fleas. For dogs with heavy coats, too thick for a flea comb, have them stand up, facing the same direction you are. Stand over them, and starting at the base of the tail, run your thumbs backwards through the fur, up the back to the neck, looking for running fleas or flea dirt. Flea dirt is tiny black specks made of dried blood. If you suspect you found some flea dirt, crush it on a wet paper towel. If it turns red, it's flea dirt. Time for a thorough flea combing. Remember to have a bowl of soapy water ready to dump any fleas you find into. Repeat this once, or preferably twice a day, until the fleas are gone. You might prefer to bathe your animal friend to kill fleas instead of combing. No need to use flea shampoo with insecticide. Any mild shampoo will kill fleas if you leave the lather on the animal for 2 to 3 minutes. Be sure to supervise and do not allow your animal friend to lick any of the shampoo. Step 3 is to get rid of fleas in your house and keep them out. If by chance you're an exception to have fleas in your house now or in the future, my first choice to get rid of them is Fleago, a safe powder you sprinkle on floors and fabric that dehydrates the fleas. It's available at any good pet store. If you do not have any fleas in your house now, just follow the rest of my 4-step flea program and you won't get any. Step 4 is to get rid of fleas in your yard, and this is probably the most important step of all. Keeping your outdoor environment free of fleas is truly the key to keeping fleas out of your house and off your animals. Now, you only need to do this step if you had fleas on your animal friends last year. If you did, then it's critically important to spray your yard with beneficial predatory nematodes. That's beneficial predatory nematodes. They are microscopic living creatures that eat the larvae of fleas. They also do crane flies. They come in suspended animation, so to speak, and come alive when you mix them with water and spray the grassy and dirt areas around your house and yard. Because these nematodes are alive, you must wait to spray until the outdoor temperature is consistently above 50 to 55 degrees. Spray just before a rainfall or in the morning or evening and water them in well. They last about 6 to 8 weeks, and if you've had a serious flea infestation recently, you may need to spray twice the first year. The good news here is that once you get those fleas out of your outdoor environment and you practice step 1 and 2, you won't have to spray the nematodes every year. By the way, you can buy the nematodes at garden supply stores, some pet stores, and feed and grain stores. I know you may be thinking how much easier it is to use what I call the chemical quick fixes, like the liquid spot-on products, pills, or injections. And you absolutely can do that. It's your choice. But it is my opinion that these products can be dangerous to both our animal friends and our environment. And I think if you knew what I know, you wouldn't use them. Okay, so there you have it, Martha's 4-step flea prevention program. And if you need more detailed help or clarification, call me, because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Canada Pet Foods. Superior quality in every bag and can.
Good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial, HD Radio 2, or you can tune us in via the internet, streaming audio, anywhere. where you have internet access. And that's a great way to share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And if you miss the broadcast, can't listen to it live, you can always go to the Animal World website and click on the audio archives and listen to it after the fact. All right. It is the first Sunday of the month. That means it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and the Human Compendium of Articles that goes along with it. Let's make sure, Dr. Al, you still with us?
Yes, I am, Martha.
All righty. And, hey, we've got some nice sunshine going on up here. Have you got May sunshine down there?
Yeah, it is nice down here. Up in Idaho, it's been raining like mad. It's been really, really cold.
Oh, okay.
Did you get, I don't know if I sent you the email or not, but...
Oh, the photographs.
Yeah, with the eagle. I know how
you... Oh, it's fabulous. Now, this is your Orofino property up in Idaho?
Yeah, this is on one of our lakes, yeah. And he took that out the window when he saw the... eagle come on down. And
for anyone that doesn't know, Dr. Al was happily retired doing wildlife refuse and work in Idaho, but popular demand brought him back into practice, and now it is your son and daughter-in-law that are caring for that property there?
Yes, and then I go back and forth hopefully every 3 months.
Right. So the photograph you sent me, it looked like it was a lake or something.
Yeah, it's on one of our lakes.
Okay.
He took it out of the apartment. We have got a big pole barn up there that we live in.
Uh-huh.
The apartment, the whole bed. And he took it out the window. And apparently that bird is
so it was an eagle on a log in the middle of the lake.
Eating a frog.
Eating
right?
a frog, yeah. So, you know, who knew? I didn't know. Well, it makes logical sense that eagles would eat frogs. They eat fish and all of that kind of stuff.
But we have osprey up there the whole bit. Yeah,
wow.
We've had eagles. We've got immature. And it's interesting when you see that white head and white tail, as you know,
yep.
That comes at about 4 years of age.
Right. So it was a mature eagle.
Yes. So it's fun. I mean, the wildlife is, he's feeding them like I do, and all of the enhancements that we put out into our forest area in the way of vetch and clover, the moose are there, the elk are coming back, the deer are there, the turkeys, the quail, you can't even believe it.
Have you gone to my current events page on my website and seen the photograph with me and the three eagles from Sargo Wildlife Rescue?
Yes, I have. I love it.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? Like Freedom, the mature eagle on one side, and Washkete, the immature eagle on the other side, and then the golden eagle right on looks like it's on top of my head. That was what an experience to be that close to all three of them.
Well, see, I think you know, since 1975, I don't have it any longer, but... for 30-some-odd years, I had a wildlife refuge in the Santa Monica Mountains in Southern California, and all I was doing was birds of prey.
Really?
And so the agencies would bring in your kestrels, your sparrowhawks, on to your owls, up to your redtails, occasional eagle, so on and so forth. And, no, I've been doing this for years and years and years, so it's right up my alley, to be honest with you. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of being a veterinarian, though, and treating animals down there in your practice now, you're pretty much doing only dogs and cats now, right?
Yes, I'm doing dogs and cats. The gentleman I work for, Dr. Baum, he does, like Dr. Bleem says, pocket critters, which is really great. And then we have another gal down there, Dr. Spira, who does nothing but birds.
Oh,
Which is interesting. Citizen birds, everything. And so, yeah, it's a mixed practice, but it's really fun to see. But I'm, you know, I used to take care of all these animals before we had better qualified people to do so. So at this point in time, I kind of stay in my own, hopefully my own little realm, if you will.
Well, it's amazing how veterinary medicine is becoming so specialized, too.
Well, it really is. And when you do have these specialty people that really... know a lot more than you do, then you're doing your patient a disfavor to go ahead and, you know, try to help. But what you get into, too, is so often with the specialty groups, the cost, people can't afford to go to a specialist.
Yeah.
You know, and so they'll come to you and say, yeah, please help me. And we help them. We can treat them. I've done so many, you know, cataracts. I've done all kinds of surgery over the years. And I can do it all. It's just that if I feel the people are in a situation where they can stand the financial drain, I send them to somebody that I feel is better qualified than I am, you know.
Well, it's nice, though, that you're open enough to helping them if that's their choice and they want your help.
Exactly. You know, and my ego has nothing to do with whoever helps the patient. It's finding somebody that will help the patient, you know.
All right, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors here for the first time this hour. Please pay attention so you can support them. And then when we continue, Dr. Al, for any of our new listeners, we will review and talk about what this endocrine immune imbalance is all about. And then in this hour, I'd like to get into the vaccination stuff, because
okay,
that's a fascinating conversation, puts a whole new light on vaccines and why they work sometimes and not others, and cause problems sometimes and not others. So
yeah, whether you should vaccinate or not.
Yeah, whether you should or not. Let's get into all of that. We'll do our basic review to start, and then we'll get into vaccines. So stay with us. Animal World continues. Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Today's pampered pets deserve a big apology. Pets are fed the same processed foods meal after meal, which they would never eat in the wild. Research continues to prove that the more we consume processed foods, the more health suffers. Over 25 years of Dr. Wysong's research has proven that pets suffer from the same degenerative diseases plaguing their human friends. Pets don't have a choice about what's put in their bowl, and their human caretakers have been led to believe that they're doing the right thing by feeding this way. Learn more about it at www.wysong.net. Wysong, the thinking person's pet food.
The live call-in show of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis has moved to Wednesdays at 1 p.m. So you can now get your free on-air readings with Metaphysical Mother and Divine Channel Robin Alexis at 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. Robin helps countless people from around the globe to live fuller and more conscious lives. So call her for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio Sundays at noon and Thursdays at 8 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
What is the Canada way? Pet foods that deliver superior quality in every bag and can, with no corn, wheat, soy, grain fractions, fillers, or byproducts, and naturally preserved. Canaday's All Life Stages grain-free formula provides 80% meat protein with human-grade chicken, turkey, lamb, and fish, 20% vegetables and fruit, and 0 grains for wholesome nutrition and increased energy levels. Superior palatability, digestibility, and nutritional benefits. Discover why dogs love Canaday. Available at a pet food retailer near you. Go to Canaday.com for more information.
Conscious living for conscious people. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and I say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World, or whatever time of day it is wherever you are, or whatever day of the week it is if you're listening. The Archives, glad to have you. Thanks for being here. It is the first Sunday of the month, and that means Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program. And just so you know, we're going to review a bit and talk about Dr. Al's book and the endocrine immune imbalance that he's discovered and what that's all about before we get into the vaccine discussion. But I want to remind you that, in case you're wondering who Dr. Al is, Dr. Al, you have accomplished an awful lot and brought to light an awful lot for us and our animal friends. You are the guy that back in the 80s brought to light food allergies, food sensitivities, and how food affects behavior and physical health and well-being. You helped us understand why it was important to develop hypoallergenic formulas. You created the first non-meat diet, vegetarian diet for dogs. You created the first hypoallergenic formulas, lamb and rice and venison and rice and all of that good stuff. You created the first thyroid panels, and you've done an awful lot. And then, of course, there's your work with this endocrine immune imbalance. And to start with, you apparently had an interest in endocrine immune function before you ever went to vet school. Isn't that true?
Yes, definitely.
And with humans as well as animals, and I think your intention was to become an MD to begin with, but due to circumstance, you ended up in vet school instead, right?
Right, I was going to be a pediatrician if I hadn't gotten sick, yeah.
Right, that's right, you got sick, but anyway, so you ended up in vet school instead, which actually was kind of a fortunate thing because I think you say, had you been in human medicine, you may not have been able to do the work that you have done with this endocrine immune stuff.
Exactly. And the other end of the stick, which was kind of, it was all meant to be because I was asked to join the class and come in. I never even applied to UC Davis.
Oh, really? They asked you, huh?
Yeah, I talked real quick. Got a sec?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, when I came back after having typhoid, and it wasn't diagnosed there, it was diagnosed.
Wait a minute. You had typhoid fever?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I had typhoid fever. I probably lost 30, 35 pounds at the end of my first year. Doing great. And I said, hey, something's wrong.
Well, were in med school then?
I was in medical school, yes.
Oh, okay. And so you had typhoid fever in your first year of medical school?
The last part of my first year.
Oh, okay.
I somehow picked it up, and I used to walk down to a little Italian fruit stand that was a mile away from the medical school every night. Because, you know, I was born in Puget Sound. I'm out in the woods, and I got to get out. You know, talk about cabin fever. So I'd walk downtown a mile, get a Big Apple, eat it on the way back, and I ended up getting typhoid fever, which it wasn't diagnosed correctly or diagnosed at all. And I finally, one Saturday, after I'd lost 30, 35, 40 pounds,
wow,
looked at myself and said, self, you're dying. Something is wrong. So anyway, it was funny because I went to see the dean of men, and they all assumed it was kind of freshman nerves. At the end of my first year, give me a break. And he said, well, you can go into public health if you'd like to. Come on, I'm sick. I was clicking. I was so dehydrated. I was clicking. My hair was falling out. Oh. When I got off the plane in Los Angeles, my mom and grandma hugged each other and started to cry.
Oh, no.
It was that bad. So it was diagnosed immediately, and my physician was really upset and called them. And they said, oh, come back and join your class. And I actually, when I felt better after fluids and a whole bit, I did go back. And I went. The dean said, well, go see your professors. I said, well, I'm going to catch up now. He said, well, you can't catch up in my class, so you need to take physiology at Michigan State. Well, I went to biochemistry, and they went, or physiology, said, no, 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 you take biochemistry. So I went back to the dean. He said, hey, why don't you just come back and start in February with a class? Don't even worry about it. Well, I got back and took my English bulldog into my veterinarian, who said, oh, you're back. You hated human medicine. I said, no, I didn't. I said, it was pretty academic, and I want to be a clinician. And he said, well, why don't you hold your dog here, Moose, my big bulldog, for a minute. And he comes back with a phone. He said, I want you to talk to somebody. And it was the dean of admissions at UC Davis. And he said, how would you like Walt Tyler? Why don't you come up and talk to me now that you're feeling better? So I drove up the next day, and I was doing a similar research project that he was. And it's funny, it was on hormones again, Martha. It was a special fluorescent antigen antibody thing. And what I was doing was I was tracing this feeling is that from up in the brain, the neurohumors, there's certain hormones that travel down a stalk they call infundibulum into the pituitary. And I was actually doing that. And he said, how'd you like to join the class? And I said, I'm not sure. He said, I'll tell you what, I've got a place for you, and if you feel good, love to have you in September. So I joined the class.
Well, about time we got that story out.
Yeah, no kidding.
So that's amazing how synchronicity works, and you ended up in vet school,
and I love it.
You already had an interest in hormones and endocrine immune function. You graduated from vet school and then went into private practice there down in Southern California, and as I understand it, you start in your practice, and a lot of dogs coming in with skin allergies and flea allergies and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And the standard treatment was, of course, give them a shot of cortisone as an anti-inflammatory, and that would calm everything down. But don't give it too much and for too long, or then there's problems.
Right.
And most vets, even still today, have just accepted that as normal treatment. Give them steroids or cortisone as an anti-inflammatory, but you weren't happy just accepting that, were you?
Well, no. You wonder why. What the next question was, as you know, was, hey, how come cortisone works so well? Could these patients be cortisone deficient? And most people, don't realize that we all produce a certain amount of cortisone to regulate our immune system and keep ourselves normal. So yes, I started checking and found, hey, the reason it worked so well, it wasn't that it was such a great hormone to do all this stuff. It was the fact that there was either an imbalance or deficiency in natural cortisone.
Yeah, so I know you like my explanation of what this imbalance is all about, and since I want to get that out of the way quickly so we can move on to vaccines, I'll just go ahead and synopsisize.
Please do a wonderful job with it.
Yeah, about that, Gary. Synopsisize. Is that a word?
It is now.
I'm going to synopsisize. Woohoo! Martha's Dictionary. All right. Anyway, so Dr. Al wasn't happy accepting that this cortisone injection is just an anti-inflammatory for some reason, and began to figure out that when the cortisone worked, it was actually maybe feeding a deficiency of some kind. So anyway, after years of investigating and trying this and trying that and doing all these tests and all this kind of stuff, what Dr. Al discovered is what we call now, we're starting to call it now, the Plechner syndrome, which is a basic endocrine immune imbalance. And this applies to dogs, cats, horses, and humans. Seems to be, we're having a lot of works going on now with the birds as well. Anyway, what it's all about is, for whatever reason, one is either born with this and it tends to be genetic, or it is acquired because of toxic exposure, stress, maybe things in the environment, or it can be a result of just growing older. For whatever reason, the adrenal glands are either not producing enough natural cortisol, and that's one of the problems with this endocrine immune imbalance and Dr. Al's work, is that there's such a negative thinking about cortisone. Everyone tends to think cortisone is bad. Well, cortisone in and of itself is not bad at all. In fact, it's a normal hormone that we need in our bodies to be healthy. Anyway, for whatever reason, the adrenal glands are either not producing enough cortisol, or the cortisol that is being produced is defective in some way, so it is not recognized correctly by the body and responded to appropriately. As a result of the lack of cortisol, or the defective cortisol, it's the middle layer of the adrenal gland, I understand, that starts producing estrogen.
It's the inner layer.
The inner layer of the adrenal gland starts making estrogen. And this is the key, and it's been missed in veterinary and human medicine. It is not ovarian estrogen. It's adrenal estrogen. And therefore, the syndrome can happen to males, females, spayed, neutered. Sex has nothing to do with it, because everybody has adrenal glands.
Right.
So the adrenal estrogen is produced, and at the more of that estrogen there is, and by the way, that could be also the level of estrogen inflated, not only by adrenal estrogen, but estrogen in our environments. And that's another subject that I want to get into, and hopefully we'll get to it today. And at any rate, the estrogen gets high enough, that estrogen begins to mess with the other hormones in the body, and it kind of binds them. It's sort of like the estrogen is running around in the body and grabbing other hormones and preventing them from working, particularly the thyroid hormones. And of course, thyroid regulates metabolism and all kinds of body balance. So when the thyroid hormones aren't functioning properly, then the antibodies deplete, and then what happens it depends on the individual and maybe what their predispositions are or whatever. It can be like Dr. Al's book says, from allergies to cancer. It can be allergies, skin problems, cancer. It could be seizures. It could be inflammatory bowel disease. It could be gum disease. It could be all kinds of chronic disease and illness. It also can, because it's messing with thyroid function, it affects behavior. So myself, as a behavior therapist and trainer for animals, I've seen this going on for a long time, and what we correlate with this imbalance is extreme and irrational fear and aggression. So that kind of explains it, Dr. Al?
Absolutely. Very.
All right.
Explicitly.
All right. Now, Dr. Al then has developed a blood test panel. It's called an EI1 panel. It is only done by one lab in the country right now. So testing, though, is relatively easy. It requires a blood draw. The blood has to be handled properly to get to the lab. But we test total estrogen, cortisol, T3, T4, thyroid hormones, and then three antibodies. So it's relatively easy to diagnose these days. And the treatment protocol is also relatively simple, varies a little bit depending on what kind of a body you're in, human, dog, cat, or horse. Sometimes the treatment begins with injection, sometimes oral, and eventually it goes to oral. And it's amazing what happens once that endocrine immune system is stabilized. So I think that covers the basics on that. Gary, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. And then when we come back, Dr. Al, let's get into this vaccination business and how does this endocrine immune imbalance, the Pleckner syndrome, relate to vaccines? And should you vaccinate? Shouldn't you? How do they work? How do they don't? I think you'll find this fascinating, particularly if you've one that has been convinced that vaccines are bad and you shouldn't do them at all. Find out what Dr. Al has to say straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Is your website representing your business the way you want it to? Is it using the best the internet has to offer? If your answer is no to either of these questions, and pay close attention, Academy of Spirit is offering a special sale on their website review package. They will help your business grow by bringing out the true spirit of your business through your website. Get video working for you right away. This $150 video special includes their staff reviewing your site and suggesting where and how video and other website upgrades may increase your search engine exposure. Then they will record and edit up to 3 short videos for your website. Bring the spirit of your business to life through your website and do it today. Only a limited number of opportunities are available. Offer valid through April 30th, 2009. Academy of Spirit, your multimedia services resource. Go to academyofspirit.com/special or call today, 425-398-8011. That's 425-398-8011.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
The new mainstream of talk radio. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're on the downside of the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World already. But we are here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's the first Sunday of the month. That means Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pleckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and the Human Compendium of Articles on the same subject. Now, phone lines are open, and I know you guys, you want to hear about the vaccine stuff, and I want you to hear all about that, so you won't want to interrupt that conversation, but it would be an excellent time for Gary to go in the other room and give you some stuff. He's got the keys to the prize closet this week. So if you would like a free copy of Dr. Al's book, Pets at Risk, or if you would like to have some of the best liver cookies on the planet, they are absolutely the best motivational reward. Your dog will love you. Give us a call, local number. Oh, if you've got a question or comment for Dr. Al, you can call in anytime for the rest of the show, 425 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 is local. Long distance within Western Washington, 1-888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. Or shoot us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All right, Dr. Al.
Yes.
Talk to us about vaccines.
Okay. The current thinking right now is that, well, there's a lot of fear about vaccines. What do they do? What do they don't do? The American Animal Hospital Association has released a statement that these vaccines, once the kittens and puppies get them, they may be good for producing antibodies up to, protective antibodies, up to 3 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what is, and that's, basically, that's true. So the thing we have to look at is, with my syndrome, if the syndrome's off, no matter how many vaccines are given, that patient will not respond to making protective antibodies and actually will, in fact, react to the vaccine, basically, because it can't be processed. So it is a certain amount of foreign material being put into the body that the body will not process and will react to. And this is where we've gotten into trouble with this, where we have reactions. We're worried about side effects. We're worried about various organs being damaged by vaccines, so on and so forth. The thing is, however, what people have to realize is you can't assume that your dog, cat, horse, whatever, even child, has made proper protective antibodies unless you measure them. So, if you will, if they're in a position to do this, once a puppy or kitten has been vaccinated, it would be of value 2 weeks after the last vaccine to actually do a little bit of a simple blood test to measure to see if, in fact, their pet responded or their child responded properly to the vaccine.
You're talking about the titer tests?
Exactly. Exactly, to see if, in fact, there's protective antibodies. And if there are, great. If not, then you've got to look to my mechanism to get it corrected and revaccinate. But the interesting thing is when that year comes up and you go, gee, it's time to vaccinate again, I'm not sure I want to do it, it's great not to do it. However, you can't trust the situation. What you have to do is, or should do, is check your antibody titer in your animal to see if they're still protected. Because it's fine to say don't give vaccines, but goodness forbid if there is no protection and we're out at the dog park or walking the street, these animals break with parvo, they break with distemper. How can that be? Because we vaccinated them. Hey, there's no guarantee in vaccinating any patient that you will get protective antibodies. So why not check? Why not, you can't assume. Because assumption could lead to death, I mean, straight away, from a practical standpoint. So that's kind of the message I would say. I think the other end of the stick is in giving a 200-pound dog a cc of a vaccine that the manufacturer say you got to give everybody a cc, try it on a 3-pound dog, and you will end up with an allergic reaction, something horrible.
Yeah, so that's one
modification.
Right, that's one. And what you're saying is, well, folks, when you go into the vet hospital to get your animal vaccinated, well, let's take dogs, for example. The vaccine comes in, they come in one-dose vials. And what veterinarians are taught to do is you put all that vaccine in the syringe and you give it to the patient. And it doesn't matter if it's a Chihuahua or a Great Dane, you give the full dose to both.
Correct.
But, Doctor, you're saying you don't agree with that. You think giving the full dose to, like, a Chihuahua is too much. And
it
that,
could be, how many, exactly.
And that
how many,
in and of itself could cause a problem?
Absolutely. How many viral particles do you need to stimulate the immune system if the immune system is working? And I can't believe it takes the same amount in a 200-pound dog as opposed to a 3-pound dog.
Well, and that never made sense to me either, but...
Well, no, I've always reduced the amount. I've always got protective antibiotics because I've measured them.
Okay, so you actually practice this. Now, when people come in to have their dogs vaccinated with you, you adjust the amount of vaccine you give depending on the size of the dog.
Well, and also from a convenience standpoint, many people come in and go, gee, I want the three vaccines. I want Bordetella, I want the, you know, parvo, you know, distemper,
mm-hmm.
I want rabies. And so all of a sudden, can you imagine giving 3 cc's, what you're doing, 3 injections to a patient, a small patient, with all this foreign material? You're just looking for causing problems. And then down the road, as everybody knows, are there any permanent effects? And in my compendium, they'll find, and they can see that on the web and download it, you look at various toxins, which a vaccine can be a toxin, what it does is it hits the middle layer adrenal cortex. And this was an article that was published in the Journal of Toxicology from England. They loved it. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming in here, Martha, you know, whether it's from the environment.
Okay, so first of all, we've got the amount of vaccine that's given. Then I would say, from everything I've read and my understanding of vaccines, I feel comfortable in saying that if we're dealing with an animal that does not have the Pleckner syndrome, so their endocrine immune system is balanced and working properly, traditionally we have been way over vaccinating.
I think so.
Yeah.
But the schools are not teaching this. See, that's one of the problems.
Right. Well, kind of like, you didn't hear animals in the news this morning, but there's this published report now after studying YouTube videos that, birds can dance. And it's like, okay, tell us something that we regular people don't already know.
I already knew that. Wasn't that wonderful, though, watching that sulfur-crested cockatoo and that other parrot?
Oh, yeah.
Turn his head around. I thought that was just outstanding. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But so, you know, the scientists are finally catching up to all of this. And at any rate, everyone I know that has vaccinated their younger animals and their healthy and normal functioning immune systems, they run the titer tests and they have lasted well beyond the years advised by, you know, the veterinary community.
The yearly, yeah.
And like I said, the vet schools are catching up. And instead of recommending most vaccines every year, now they're kind of doing every 3 years, which I still think is more than necessary. But I also agree with you. I mean, checking the titers is certainly helpful because then you know whether they're protected or not.
Well, yeah, and at 3 years, check it. And if we still have protective titers, recheck it at 4 years. I think what it comes down to, though, is finances.
Yeah.
Because the vaccines are fairly inexpensive.
Yeah.
And I think most of the titers are, you know, 75, 80 bucks.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We have, let's say we have an animal that has a normal EI1 panel, does not have the Pleckner syndrome, immune system's working well. Can you over-vaccinate, or is every year, does it not matter, because their system will just deal with it?
No, I think you can over-vaccinate, I think.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's good. Now, so we know that. We know about the volume of vaccine. Now, here, the biggie is, well, there's two others. You were talking about toxins in the vaccines. And so there's some vaccines that I'm more comfortable with than others, kind of the standards, like, you know, the distemper and the parvo, the rabies. But we get to a lot of the newer vaccines and combo vaccines. I'm a fan of vaccinating for one disease at a time, you know, and not overwhelming the immune system.
Right.
And but this toxins in vaccines, I think this is coming out in the human world, and I've been particularly impressed with the work done by, you know, Jenny McCarthy, you know, and Jim Carrey, and
right.
her son with autism.
Right.
And boy, she's just being slammed by the CDC and the medical community. But if you listen to what she has to say, boy, she knows what she's talking about, and she's done her homework. And she is not saying what they would like you to believe, that she's saying, don't ever vaccinate your kids. She's not saying that. She's saying some vaccines are okay, and some others aren't, and a lot of it is because of the toxins in those specific vaccines.
Right.
So her work is real good to look at, especially, you know, for humans, but it also kind of relates to what we're talking about with animals. Now, the last area that is a real hot button would be, as I can remember, you know, in my 20 years of working in veterinary medicine, and animals coming in to be vaccinated, and then all of a sudden they're having allergic reactions to the vaccines, some dying, some just having, allergic reactions, sometimes catching the disease or manifesting
that's
the disease after the vaccines,
right.
Or having like cancer happen at the site of the vaccines and stuff.
As you see with cats.
Right, right.
You know, so, if you give them, yeah, the same thing. Well, years and years ago, this just real quick,
mm-hmm.
I found miniature poodles that were allergic to chicken.
Yeah.
Vomiting, diarrhea, many times reacted to vaccines.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, so I went back and checked, and yeah, the vaccines were raised on egg, chicken, embryos.
Mm.
Which is kind of interesting.
Dogs that had the allergic reaction were not reacting to the vaccine. They were reacting to the egg in the vaccine.
Yeah, and that's what I think people are looking at right now. Is it really the virus, the attenuated virus that's being given, or is it the carrier that the vaccine is in? Does it have mercury? Does it have this? What is the carrier doing?
Right, but then we got it. But what you are helping us understand now is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have had many, many, many patients come in, and you vaccinate them, they have an allergic reaction to the vaccine.
Right.
You test them for the Pleckner syndrome and this endocrine immune imbalance, they have the imbalance.
Exactly.
You
right.
treat them for the imbalance, and you regulate their endocrine immune panel. And then you're able to vaccinate them again, and they do not have the same allergic reaction. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's how it really does. It does work. But what I often do at the time, if I'm going to revaccinate, is obviously I've always reduced the amount of vaccine. But I will also give them a shot of their cortisol in the muscle.
Oh.
Wait a few minutes, then do a small amount of the vaccine. And then I have the owners wait for 10 to 15 minutes in the lobby to make sure there's no reaction. Because, you know, I keep questioning, what I'm doing, too. You know, nothing's 100%. Nothing's a panacea.
Mm-hmm.
And from a protective standpoint for a patient, this is what I do. And it works beautifully.
Well, all right. Well, folks, that may stimulate some questions for you. And, of course, we're here until noon. We're going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, the most important part of the show. You need to pay attention, support them, thank them for supporting us. And then we will have our brand new Pet of the Week with King County Animal Care and Control's interim manager, Nancy McKinney, will join us. And by then, we'll probably reach the top of the hour, close out, start up on the other side. So phone lines will be open. Good time for you to call if you would like a free. Did you actually give something away, Gary? You did. Well, he mastered that. So we're practicing this week for next week, so we give lots of stuff away on Mother's Day. So if you would like a copy of Pets at Risk, or you would like Wagon Tails liver cookies, woohoo, the best on the planet, call now, 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. Gary will put you on hold, and then when he's free, he'll run in the other room and pick you up. So call us now. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Wagon Tails liver cookies, healthy, handmade treats for your dog that offer a heart full of love in every bite. Wagon Tails liver cookies are made with only the highest quality human certified ingredients that come from a local meat market and restaurant supply companies. They never use byproducts, wheat, corn, soy, or products with hormones or antibiotics. And dogs absolutely love them. Go to WagonTailsCookies.com to order this fabulous treat and read the heartwarming story about Willow, the inspiration for Wagon Tails Cookies.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. You can learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and homeowners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including Reiki 1 for animals with Polly Klein on June 6th, Animal Aromatherapy June 13th, and 14th with Joan Sarita, and Fundamentals of Animal Massage with Lola Michelin June 13th. For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Mother's Day is a wonderful time to honor the one who gave us life, sacrificed for us, and raised us. But if your mother or grandmother has passed away, or if you have lost the dream of becoming a mother yourself, Mother's Day can be bittersweet. Join metaphysical mother Robin Alexis, medium and author, as she helps to reopen those lost connections, bridge the gap between those here and those who have passed on, and give you a look into past lives between mothers and their own children. Join metaphysical mother Robin Alexis at the East West Bookshop on Mother's Day, May 10th at 3 p.m. This event is free. Robin will be signing her books, Raising Humanity and Robin's Song, Treasure Your Soul's Wisdom, and doing free readings on Mother's Day, May 10th at 3 p.m. at the East West Bookshop in Seattle. Come meet Robin in person. It's an afternoon you'll never forget and a great way to honor your mother. The East West Bookshop is located at 6500 Roosevelt Way Northeast in Seattle.
Radio for your body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey-o, Martha Nerlock, and boy, we're winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We will get back to Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, but right now, it's time for current events. Speaking of entertainment, got some good things on the current event schedule, and if you can't write down the details or you miss something, be sure and go to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com, and click on current events for the details on everything I mentioned today and a whole lot of other stuff that I don't have time to mention. So let's see, if you want entertainment for your kids, Animal Adventure Day Camp for Kids at the Humane Society in Bellevue is taking registration now. Campers ages 8 to 11 for 1 week sessions in July. The times are 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday. The camp fee is $170. And you can call the Humane Society for more information or to register at 425-373-5385. That's 425-373-5385 or www.seattlehumane.org. Let's see, remember the Hope for Horses fundraising project and their blank greeting cards, 3 for $10. There's an email address on the current events page if you would like to order some. Mark your calendars for Meow's 4th annual wine tasting and auction fundraiser on Saturday, July 25th. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. at North Bellevue Community Center. Details will be coming soon at their website. They are also still accepting donations for the auction. MeowAuction@gmail.com if you'd like to email them about donating. MeowAuction@gmail.com. MeowCatRescue.org for more information about the event. All right, the Humane Society Feline Fix Day is May 5th. Slow cost spay and neuter plus free microchips for low income owners. The felines that belong to those owners, they're not injecting the owners. Feline distemper vaccines will be $10, neuter $15, and spay $25. Cats must be at least 4 months of age. For an appointment, you need an appointment, 425-649-7560. That's 425-649-7560. Now, mark your calendars for the 10th annual Seattle Animal Shelters Furry 5K Run and Walk on June 7th at Seward Park. All proceeds, of course, benefit the shelters Help the Animal Fund. There are more details at www.furry5k.com. That's FURRY5K.com. And that's a great event and really helps out the animals at Seattle Animal Shelter. So check that out. Now, here's a programming note for you this week. because Cesar Millan is doing a special episode of The Dog Whisperer. It is inside Puppy Mills. It will air Friday, May 8th at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on the National Geographic Channel. And I don't get the National Geographic Channel, so you guys are going to have to watch it and tell me all about it. But it's Friday night, May 8th, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Cesar Millan's The Dog Whisperer Inside Puppy Mills should be a good show. All right, so that's it on the current events calendar, other than I want to tell you next week is Mother's Day. I have a special show for us planned. Barbara from Wagon Tail's Liver Cookies is going to join us in the first hour. And in the 10 to noon, we have a special day with Liz Mitten Ryan. Now, she's joined us once before. She is the author of One with the Herd, the fabulous book about her work with horses up in Canada, and really incredible work with no bridles, no saddles. And her latest book, The Truth According to Horses, it has just come out and has just won a Silver Nautilus Award. She will be with us to share her amazing work, and so join us to find out what the horses are saying. And we've got some special Mother's Day giveaways. My goodness, that phone, when we get busy, the phone keeps ringing. All right, so that's it for current events. Gary is doing a phenomenal job of running back and forth and dealing with phones. And are you giving stuff away, Gary?
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo! We're practicing for next week because we're going to have a blowout giveaway. Mother's Day. Woohoo, better be here. All right, let's see. It is now time for our Pet of the Week.
Do you see that doggy in the shelter?
Yeah.
The one with the take-me-home eyes. If you give him love and attention, he will be your best friend for life.
That was a hint. Anyway, love that. That's Rosemary Clooney. She did the original recording, and she did this just for to benefit shelters and rescues. We're so glad to have it on the air. And also glad on the air, Interim Manager, King County Animal Care and Control, Nancy McKinney's here. Good morning, Nance.
Good morning.
How are you doing this week?
Doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. Yeah. I'm concerned about Sandy because she didn't make it in today and is having some problems.
That back is not an easy thing to heal.
No. Oh, no, especially when you got cabin fever and you're doing more than you should be doing, which would Sandy would fall into that category. Now, how about you? Because you've had some back stuff going on. You're probably doing more than you should do, too. Are you rehabbing and feeling better?
Yes, starting physical therapy soon and have to work on those core muscles.
All right. Well, maybe you and Sandy can rendezvous.
Class.
All right. Now, before we get to our brand new Pet of the Week, let's find out who's still in the doghouse. And let's go back to our April 12th, which was Easter, and that was Toby, our bunny. Have we got homes for any bunnies down there?
Right. No, Toby's still up for adoption and still enjoys being held by the volunteers. He's a staff favorite. So, again, if people aren't interested in getting a cat or a dog, think about King County Animal Care and Control because we have rabbits and even hamsters.
All right. Then let's see. We had Max, the flat-coated retriever mix.
Oh, sweet dog. Still there.
Still Max is still there? Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Great breed, great temperament, all-around good dog. He just looks a little funny because the back of his hair, the coat, there's a little bald spot that's being treated and coming back, but
that will all heal. Okay. All right, and then last week we had Butter, the orange kitty cat.
Oh, yeah. Butter's still there, too. And I think, you know, we are starting to see a few more younger kittens coming into the shelter. So I think most people are not looking at these great adult cats. So Butter, again, is a Four paws upgrading by the volunteers. Great cat. Would make a great pet.
Now, and I would say, folks, you know, the kittens are cute, but you're taking a chance, especially if you want a specific kind of personality. You know, you may or may not get it if you pick a kitten, but the adult cats are, we already know what they're like. So, speaking of adult cats, who is our new pet of the week?
Oh, we have a great cat named Oreo this week, and Oreo was a stray cat. Somebody had found, brought her in mid-April, and it turns out she was pregnant, so we fixed her. She is now available for adoption. She's only about 2 years old, is our guest, current honor shot, uses her litter box, and is very friendly.
All right, and of course, Oreo is black and white. She looks like she's a long-haired black and white kitty.
Right, so make sure you're not allergic to cats.
She has a lovely black head, but with this white nose and stripe upper nose and white paws. She looks like a very pretty kitty.
Yes, very wispy hair, you know, that gray coat. She's in good condition for being a stray. We've fixed her up.
And being a young mom, too.
And, again, we give them their first sets of vaccinations. We make sure they have good litter box habits and are healthy and ready to go. So she's waiting as well as butter.